you gotta be all particular to the ladies. You know what I mean? He's like, can't relate.
Is there something I should do?
No, I think you're good. Okay. I might have you show off a little something in a minute, but it's not what you would think.
You this is see. Gonna be a fun interview.
It is. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You all know the saying, get rich or die trying. And I ain't going to lie. I feel like the vibe is get groceries or die trying. So here to help us with our woes and sorrows today is the man to talk money, honey. I have with me Robert Breedlove. Robert is one of the top Bitcoin influencers in the country. He is host of the What is Money show. He's a freedom maximalist. And guess what? If you all think, you're thinking Bitcoin, your buzzers are going off, you're like, lady, what does this have to do with me? We can assure you in your pretty little pants that it does. So, Robert, welcome to Cancel Me Baby and my little setup here. You know, you've got the old school notepad, you got the little lab, like we're just...
it's a great setup.
We don't let people tell us what to do. So this is just, you know, we take it into our own hands, as you can see.
Very freedom maximalist of you.
Right?
You just set up whenever, wherever.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's just how it rolls. I'm not going to let anyone dictate my life.
I love that.
So first off, I told you that I was going to have you show us a little something. We're not doing a Magic Mike moment, Robert.
That's good.
Why don't you show us your little bicep, your B, not for bicep, for yes.
My only tattoo.
As you guys can see, he's loud, proud, Bitcoin.
Skin in the game.
Man, literally.
What it represents to me.
So, with that being said, you're a Bitcoin maximalist.
Yeah, people would call me that. So I call myself freedom maximalist because I think Bitcoin is a means to an end, and that end is human freedom.
So, is it safe to say... My interpretation is Bitcoin maximalists feel that it is the supreme cryptocurrency. Like, it is the way to our sovereignty, basically. Like, all the others get lost.
Yeah.
It's like, basically, yes.
Bitcoin, not shitcoin, is the mantra. And if you wanted the core reasoning behind that, it's essentially that Bitcoin is decentralized.
Right.
Meaning no one can control it.
Yes.
Everything else is controllable by someone or some group of people.
Yep.
And that makes all the difference.
Yeah.
Like, we want... a money that no one can control. That's
exactly.
The name of the game. That's what gold was historically, and that's what Bitcoin has effectively perfected. And so everything else is a distraction.
Shitcoins.
Yeah.
We're going to get into the central banking digital currency of it all, guys. Hold on. Don't worry. You're going to get a little vocab lesson. It's going down, okay? But in 60 seconds, Robert, because you and I were talking before sitting down, and I kind of laid out, you know, what's going on over here, because my audience is... They're smart cookies, but they may not all be Bitcoin crypto experts, but they are hardcore free thinkers. Like I said, like we don't like people telling us what to say. We don't give a shit. Like eat our dust. So with that being said, in 60 seconds, right, why is this something that is relevant to them and that you are so, no pressure, 60 seconds, but that you're so passionate about?
Well, when you look at human history, people, and you probably know this if you've been in business at all for yourself, if you've been an entrepreneur, people fight over money a lot.
True.
Right? It's like almost
even families, think about
families,
it. When there's a death.
Friends.
Yes.
Of death and money, when those two things collide,
oh,
there's a lot of weirdness around that. But if you extrapolate that out, that's also the norm of like human history.
Yeah.
And so there's a lens or prism through which to look at the world, and it's the lens of money. So it explains things like World War I, World War II, explains the reason the state exists, right? The state's a business that steals from you through taxation and inflation. It's just a business, right? It's a profit-driven enterprise. And it's almost like money is very central to just humanity's endeavor, right? That we have to cooperate with one another so that we can create abundance and have economies that give us an abundance of goods and services. And money is central to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this trust medium that we interact through. But there's this huge tendency or this irresistible urge for people to try and monopolize and corrupt money. So that's why I think it's very interesting. It touches everything. You know, it touches psychology, sociology.
So true.
Technology, obviously.
Yeah.
Physics, history. you get it, like when you get deep into Bitcoin, you start talking about game theory and incentives and how people think and how your psychology is shaped by the incentive systems you're inside of. And basically money is one of the strongest motivational forces in the world. So I think it's a very interesting philosophical exploration to like look into the nature of money and how it touches so many things.
So true. Yeah. It's like sex, food. It's one of those things that's you think about it, is a primal survival mechanism.
And those are good examples, actually, because sex is a fundamental act of exchange. It's the most important market in the world, by the way. All the other markets exist to serve that market, the market for human reproduction. And then food's a good analogy, too, because food is energy.
That's true.
Actually, primordial money was food. Like, it used to be you kill, you take down the saber-toothed tiger or whatever prey animal, and then you would, I killed an animal today, I can't eat this whole thing, so I'm going to give it to those around me. And I know that next time they kill an animal, they'll return the favor. That was like an original form of money, this reciprocal altruism that occurred. And so money, it's another way to think about it. Money is this thing that lets us exchange favors with one another. So you go to work, you render some services, you get some money, you then go to the restaurant and you get services from those people.
So true.
You travel. So it's essential to human cooperation. And without it, we can't scale as a civilization.
True. And with that said, capitalism, baby. He's like, yes. Okay. So Robert, what's so fascinating, like, let's bring a fun pop culture reference, and you talk about control and central banking. I think it's so fascinating that Alexander Hamilton created the central bank to have this order, to have this control. And who would have thought now Hamilton is like the world renowned, how it's been spun and all this of like breaking stereotypes, like the Broadway show and freedom and all that. And when you really look at it, it's like, how interesting, who would have thought?
Yeah.
Right? So when people are listening right now and they're thinking, okay, you two over here, like, going on, what do you mean I'm not in control? I go to the ATM and I'm in control of my debit account and my credit card account, and I can take however much money, and I have my password to my online banking. They're not really in control. What would you say to that?
Yeah, so it's easy to fall into this belief that when something works for a long period of time, that it's just going to work forever. So you log into online banking, you see a number on the screen, you think, oh, I have money. You know, that's mine.
Right. Exactly. You think you're independent.
Right. And it works most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you actually read the terms and conditions, you would see that you're in a creditor-debtor relationship with the bank. You have loaned the bank the money that they're representing on the screen, and they owe you that money.
Mm-hmm.
They may or may not pay you back. We've had many bank failures across history. Mm-hmm. And even more than that, it's you have this liability to the central bank, which is very... People don't understand this much, but there's one organization in the world called the central bank that has an exclusive monopoly on money, on currency creation, currency issuance. So they can counterfeit the currency that you have to work for.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one organization that can control P, expand the money supply, give it out to whoever they want.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go to work to earn that money. So it's this is why Bitcoiners are very passionate against central banking, because it is organized crime of the highest echelon.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally a currency counterfeiting cartel. And as they print money, we've seen what happens over the past 3 years, prices go up, right? The price of travel, the price of
everything, food,
the price of gas, etc. That is a tax. They are stealing from you through the counterfeiting of currency. And if you try to counterfeit currency, you go to jail.
Right.
Many, many years. But yet, the government... funded by the central bank, that's okay for them to do it. So it's this asymmetry. It's this two-tier economic system that is fundamentally unfair.
I don't know if you've heard this, but rules for thee, not for me. I mean, we've
exactly
seen
right.
it run around the world. Talk to me about, you know, the central banking digital currency, right? Because something that you wrote that really struck me was that, because I talk about on my show all the time, and I want us to reflect too. I also had Matt Taibbi on my show recently, Robert Malone. You recently, and it pertains to all of this with thought, with media, with information, right, and our freedoms. You said Bitcoin basically, I'm paraphrasing, but you said Bitcoin wants nothing to do with politics, but politics want everything to do with Bitcoin. And I interpreted that as like what you're saying, like having their hand in it and having control in it. All of this, kind of break it down when it comes to control. I mean, I know you just said the higher, you know, they can do this and how it affects us here, but kind of like human simple terms of like, actually, guys, like, do you want to get out of your mom's basement and afford the nice cheese at the store? Right.
Control is such a key word, actually, to understanding all of this. So if we look at Bitcoin first, like it is, what's so special about it is that, again, no one can control the rules of the network. So you could think about it as like a level playing field. You can't have this two-tier system, rules for me, not for thee. Mm-hmm. That cannot exist in Bitcoin. All of us are equal in the eyes of Bitcoin, right? It's one game. We're playing by equal rules that no one can change.
Mm-hmm.
And in that game, you have full control over your asset. Like you fully, it's as if you held gold coins in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
There's no government or any organization in the world that can say that gold's not worth anything. Mm-hmm. They can't deauthorize it. They can't sanction it. They can't reverse it. Bitcoin is, we often call it digital gold. It's a bearer asset, but it's in an informational form. So it's like just holding a password effectively, but it gives you full control over your assets. You can memorize the private key, which is that password,
mm-hmm.
and you can cross a border with $1 billion on your brain.
Mm-hmm.
You can move it at the speed of light, right? You can store it in any information-bearing medium, paper, computer, your mind. It gives you full and absolute total control over your wealth. And that's something we don't have anywhere else.
That's crazy.
Like gold is an analog version of Bitcoin, but obviously it's not practical to haul around a little treasure chest of gold everywhere. And if you get stopped at the border, they might seize your gold because it's physical, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you just have it in your brain, or you just have it written down, or you can even have it published and encrypted in like a public article that only you know how to decrypt, you have full and total control in an asset that you can move anywhere in the world. And so control, right? This is what's so important to freedom. You need to have control over your own wealth to control your own life. It's your life energy. It's your life economic energy, whatever you want to call it. And now on the other side of this word control, though, you see governments and central banks vying for control over you. So the Freedom Convoy in Canada, right?
Yes.
Peaceful protests taking place in Canada, people exercising their democratic rights in a peaceful way. The most violent thing they did was honk horns. What was the first weapon employed against them? Once the state said they wanted to break the back of this thing.
I was shocked. Closed hundreds
freezing,
of accounts.
Seizing.
Yes.
Assets. So again, your online banking
Could
you think
you
is
imagine?
Yours? No, it's not.
They can
push of a button and it's gone.
Yep.
Even contributors to the protests, right? We're having their assets frozen and seized.
Yes.
And the only money that got through, because they started the GoFundMe page and all this, they started to freeze those, right? Because they're on these centrally controlled rails. The only money that got through that no one could stop was Bitcoin.
Right.
Because it's under the full control of the contributor. And as they give it to the recipient takes full control over that asset. There's no one in the world that can stop it, freeze it, reverse it, seize it.
And that's why. So if you guys don't remember, in 2022, there were the huge Canadian truck driver protests against vax mandates. And what Robert is referring to is when exactly anybody who so much as participated, donated, anything like that, literally had their own bank accounts, like he said, frozen seized. So again, thought, wealth, your own life, they all coincide. I told you guys it would all come around, right? So like you are going to, as if you aren't already, I know I do, think twice about every tweet, every, like, what are they watching just perpetually on our heads? And it's really scary. So with that being said, even if they don't like what you are doing, thinking, they can literally shut you off. So that's why I bring it back to the idea of a central banking digital currency, because basically my understanding is that would make the digital currency central to where and that's what they ultimately would want.
Total,
so they could turn
total
that
control.
Off. Total control.
Yes.
Is that, do you see that in the near future? Will that
happen? It's happening right now.
It is
in
happening.
July. So we're sitting here in the month of August.
Yes.
So last month, the Federal Reserve Bank, which is the central bank of the US, they launched FedNow. This is the first technical step towards a central bank digital currency. They're calling it not, there's the rebrand, right? It's not a central bank digital currency. It's this other thing. But it is central bank digital control. If you send the wrong tweet, you say the wrong thing, you talk to the wrong people, frozen, stop, seize. And they can selectively turn off your money. Maybe you can't travel. Maybe you can't have social media accounts, whatever mm-hmm. it may be. So it's, you know, we had a Twitter space with RFK the other day. And
okay.
I think he put it really well that his epiphany recently is that we're always talking about the freedom of speech and how important that is in this country, the First Amendment, right? It's
which is weaponized all around and has been completely watered down from what it actually
we're
is.
We're already living in this
yeah.
censorship environment.
Right.
You know, social media has become socialist media. So we're seeing freedom of speech under attack. But of equal, if not greater importance, in my strong opinion, is the freedom to transact, right? The freedom to store money independent of others. Because if you take someone's money away, who gives a shit if they can talk or not? They can't even live. They can't eat. They
it's
can't
like
travel.
The physical equal of that would be like physically being held hostage.
Exactly.
When you think about it.
Exactly.
So, Robert, what would you say, though, for, you know, and this was so eye-opening having the Malones on, because as I told them, you know, with vax mandates and all that, I'm like, listen, you do what you want, but number one, this is too early. We don't know enough. Like, do not mm-hmm. tell me I can't participate mm-hmm. in society, or, you know, and it became a whole thing and so politicized, right? It's like, you're selfish,
yeah,
you're
sure.
less than, you're
killing
dirty.
Grandma.
Killing grandma, like Grandma Fanny over here, like didn't ask for this, right? What would you say to somebody who gives the powers that be the benefit of the doubt? So say with the COVID example, it's like, no, we have this rapid virus. It's killing people. Like, the powers that be want us to take all this and to get better and to get back to life, like as it pertains to all this and money. No, we need central banking digital currency because it'll have order this. Like, what would you say to that, right? Who trust in the powers? He's like,
so,
Taylor, I'm on 3 hours of sleep, bitch. What are you doing to my life?
No, it's a great question. And often a difficult one to penetrate with people. Because if they believe in the powers that be, you're almost attacking their identity if you question it, right? I see this a lot. We're in America. When I used to question the U.S. dollar, like the validity of it, people are like, what do you mean? That's America's currency, you know, rah, rah, rah. But it's like, it's a scam, bro. It's a fucking
it's a scam, bro.
Yeah.
Like, title of that.
I don't know what to tell you. It's just mechanically how it
yeah.
works. You're getting scammed. Like,
yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But I, you know, there's a saying that no man is better than his incentives. So, like, why would you think that the social apparatus of coercion,
mm-hmm.
compulsion, and violence that we call the state or the U.S. government,
mm-hmm.
why do you think that business would have your best interest in mind?
It's
a tax farm. They only
so
want
true.
You to work and let them steal from you via taxation
yeah.
and counterfeiting of the currency.
Yeah.
Where is their incentive to have your interest in mind? Actually, when you die, there's the inheritance tax. They get 50% of your shit. So why should they, like, show me the incentive of a government to take care of its citizens. It does not exist.
And even as it pertains to my world, like, again, media, pop culture, and we'll dive into this more, everybody is self-interested, period. So, it, you know, when we get into the thought of it all and getting cut off financially, again, why would advertisers drop out of a show? Why are actors
yeah.
and actresses threatened to not
yes.
have their financial income? They'll get fired from a show for saying
right.
the wrong thing. It's like, because they don't give a fuck about you.
Like,
exactly. It's all,
right.
everybody is self-interested.
And let's accept that. It's not a bad thing that we're self-interested, right? This is Darwinian.
That's not a bad point.
It's
That's
natural,
not a bad point.
Right? The squirrel is bearing nuts for himself, not his friends. Like,
survival
it's okay.
of the fittest.
We are animals.
True.
But as humans, as rational animals, we can figure out ways such that my self-interest stops where your self-interest ends, right?
Yeah.
So that's called private property, right? When I can own something, I can create
right.
value, and I can keep the fruits of my labor,
yeah.
and you can do the same, and we can trade consensually, we can
no,
produce wealth, we can economize. But if I start to steal your shit, I'm now disincentivizing you from being productive. If I can't keep the fruits
no.
of my labor, why am I going to be productive?
You
this is it. It's getting theft
yeah.
out of the socioeconomic fabric.
Yeah.
That's what this is all about.
Yeah.
And that's why it's very anti-state, because the state,
mm-hmm.
you know, taxation and inflation, is systemically stealing from everyone all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So Bitcoiners are taking a stand against this. And this is not a new Bitcoiner thing. This is a legacy we've inherited from the gold bugs, right? The libertarian
okay.
philosophers. This
sure.
has been hundreds and hundreds of years of people talking about these ideas.
Sure.
In 1215, the Magna Carta was signed, which was the inspirational document for the U.S. Constitution.
Sure.
Life, liberty, property.
Yeah.
This is all the government needs to do. Protect life, protect liberty, and protect property. Anything the government does outside of that scope, it is overstepping. And we live in a world today where everything is so highly regulated. People
oh,
literally
yeah.
think you can pass laws to change the weather. Well, you can pass laws
and
to.
everything seeps in everything.
Yes. And it's. We've. You should have Matthias Desmond on. He wrote the book Psychology of Totalitarianism,
Okay.
and he talks about mass formation psychosis. I think we're in that. Like, when you actually think you don't know a man from a woman, and you think laws can change the weather, and you think compelling people to inject experimental gene therapies into their body is going to stop a pandemic, we're going crazy, right? And this craziness is rooted in this institution that's trying to control people, trying to steal from people. And it's not new, unfortunately, right? All of history, we've had these romantic lies told to us that's used to justify stealing, right? The Marxist notion, from each according to their ability to each according to their need. Like, what a beautiful thing. We don't need markets or prices or any of this stuff. We don't need to own anything. We can just come together in brotherly love, and the utopia
No, fuck that.
will come into being. What actually happened?
No, fuck that.
Millions starved, millions
No,
murdered,
exactly.
Soviet Russia, like, just study history. Open a history book.
Just crack
And so
one
the
open
latest romantic
if it
lie.
still exists, because with all the book burning on both sides,
Yeah.
again, you talk about bending history, facts, science.
Yes. But it's the same utopian ideal in a different wrapper. So instead of this Marxist notion, this time we had nobody's safe until everybody's safe. It's simply not true. What the fuck does that mean? Nobody is safe until everybody's safe.
Right.
That doesn't make any
Lies,
sense.
lies.
It's a blatant lie.
I have to tell you, this whole thing is making me, because I'm very animalistic and I don't want to say possessive, but in this way, like what I earned is mine, so shut the fuck off. Like if I decide to
Precisely.
transact, whatever, like
That's
I built
just.
my, yes,
You
I
earned
built
it.
my, thank you.
Shouldn't you keep it?
So whenever I see all of these memes, whatever, it's like communist that, socialist that, again, I'm like, crack open a book, see how that wound up for them. Go hack it for 3 days and come back to me and let me
That's
know
right.
how that goes. But full disclosure, and I'm sure with many of my audience members, I don't have Bitcoin or any crypto for that matter, because, and I'm going to get to some of the elephants in the room. And also from my understanding, right? But this, all that goes to say, this is really making me, I have to say, like, think twice about everything and how it really does intersect and touches every aspect of our life and our sovereignty. And my understanding too, for people, and we're going to get in the elephants in the room and some misconceptions. It's very early. It's almost like it will be mainstream in everyone's lives, just like the internet, like web 2.0, right? It's like the early days of email, talking to someone across the world in a letter digitally, like what the fuck do you mean, right? It's almost like we're in the stage of that for this, is my understanding. With that being said, before we get more into the thought and all that, because I know you were shadow banned, you showed me at Freedom Fest. I actually just had one of my Robert Malone clips taken down because it went against the community guidelines of misinformation. A couple elephants in the room want to address. Okay, before you, and you were like, it's a scam, bro. Speaking of bro, which I love, what are some validities and truths and some fallacies in the crypto bro stereotype? Because I'm sure you've heard it.
Well, so let me see if I've got the stereotype right first.
Okay,
Is
okay.
crypto bro like Lambos? They also talking about big titty bitches sometimes.
BTB, that's not a, right, exactly. That's a
BTB.
B.
What else?
Just the whole
I've
thing,
been out
like,
of like crypto for a long time, so 'cause there's a big difference between Bitcoin and
good,
crypto.
that's a
So,
good thing actually
yeah.
to differentiate.
Yes, totally two different worlds. Bitcoin, not shitcoin.
Is there a Bitcoin bro stereotype then?
Well, the Bitcoin maximalist stereotype, they're often
Okay.
called toxic Bitcoin maximalists. And
Okay.
it's, I don't know where that term originated. I don't know if it was inherited from toxic masculinity, but we're very rash, perhaps, very
Okay.
forthright in our
Okay.
opinions, very, very strong
Well, that's
opinions.
fine.
And people get their feelings hurt sometimes. And so they often refer to Bitcoiners as toxic Bitcoin maximalists because they don't, you know, Ethereum's more friendly, or, you know, this community feels better. But looking at it from like a technical standpoint, it's like this project is flawed. This one is competing to be sound money globally. So I guess there's a stereotype there. And I think with Bitcoin maximalists, though, it's a good thing. It's what they're doing is telling you a hard truth. So it might not be comfortable to hear that your shitcoin is a scam or the US dollar is a scam, but these things are true. They're fundamentally true.
You're like, we're not indecisive. It's like, you know, you ask your boyfriend, you want the guy to take charge. It's like, where are we going to dinner tonight, babe? You don't want the guy who's like, I don't know, Applebee's or this. It's like, no, we know
yes.
It's going to be Bitcoin. We know it's going to be Outback.
It's a big masculine energy for sure. That's a lot of dudes.
Masculine.
Because it's nerdy stuff. Like guys, I heard a quote once, like men are into ideas and or men talk about ideas, women talk about men. And of course, it's a generality, but there's some truth there, right? Like men are tinkerers. Most of the inventions have been created by men.
There's some sexist undertones, but you know, I'm with you on this journey.
I think it was
actually
a woman that said it. Someone could check me on that.
Okay.
But I heard it secondhand through Jordan Peterson. And again, it's a generality. So of course, there's women that are into ideas and abstract concepts, but by and large,
yours truly,
many women like to gossip and talk about social things. Like it's true, right? More feminine energy discusses social sphere. Masculine energy talks abstract ideal sphere.
Someone said on my show recently, I had a great guest on my show, and he's like, men fuck shit up and women put the pieces together.
I've heard men fuck shit up and women will fuck you up.
True that. Like we all know. No, but.
I should say something too. Like men and women, biologically, very distinct, obviously.
Yes, the yin and the
yang. Despite what's going on in the world. Like,
please.
There are chromosomes and there are men and there are women.
There's the X and the Y,
exactly.
Guys. Yeah.
But individually, I think there is, we all have a balance of masculine and feminine energy within us.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be a woman and have like more masculine energy and be into engineering. You know, that's
totally.
There's plenty of those people in the world. So I'm not saying like all women are this, all men are that. It's more about the energies that are inside you.
And it's like a fundamental difference of men and women being problem solvers in different ways, which
yes.
is kind of what I think
yes.
that you are getting at.
100%.
You know, and we need each other. Let's be real.
Oh my God. I have two of the best assistants on earth. They're both women.
Yeah.
I
we get shit done. We get shit done in a different way.
One thing at a time. I'm like a hunter, right? It's like one thing I can point at it and do
yeah.
it. I have a million things going on around me. I can't handle it. I can't keep up with it.
Oh my God. We talk about women talking about men. Yes. We say that all the time.
Yes.
We're like, what is with these dudes? Like, can they survive without us? Can
no,
they live?
We cannot.
We're strategizers in different ways.
Yes.
You know?
And equally important.
And problem solvers in different ways.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. So, okay. So perhaps some truths in the stereotypes. Some fallacies, though, but more so what I meant about the Outback Applebee's, which I don't know, I'm on a chain restaurant metaphor thing today, was not even the masculine energy, but being certain about it, being confident, and like this is Bitcoin is the way. Because I will say, just to challenge you, I have seen people advocate for other coins, and they will say to Bitcoin maximalists, help, like we can all, not to go down on the Marxist thing, but it's like the idea we can all raise each other up, so to speak.
Yeah, that's cute.
that's cute of you.
But
you know.
There's also this. It's not like there's just these tribes that we all just decided Bitcoin's a thing and then they decided Ethereum. There's different tribes. Most Bitcoin maximalists, if not all, have like been through the shitcoin jungle. Like you come in, you're excited about Bitcoin.
You're like, so this who comes out supreme on top.
You start
guys.
Looking at these other new shiny objects.
Yeah.
And if you actually look at them and you look at their history and you look how they function and you look at the teams behind them, you look at the extreme prevalence of scams, like 95%. Plus of these
that
assets
was my
are
next
scams.
Thing. Yeah, yeah.
Even the ones that are honestly intentioned,
yeah.
I would argue are largely just gambling devices. And when you get into the technical specifics, a blockchain, which is what Satoshi actually called a time chain, seems like it only has one use case, and that use case is global digital non-state cash. So all of these other projects making use of a blockchain, I and other Bitcoin maximalists do not see product market fit anywhere. So that's our opinion. It's like, okay, this thing
mm-hmm.
matters. The rest of these things are unproven at best and scams at worst.
And you guys are very, as you even said at some point during this, are very synonymous with the libertarian mindset.
Yes.
So it's not so much that you want to shut down
uh-huh.
anyone who disagrees with you. It's like, okay, tweak your
it.
Own. You'll be over there.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. Because I could see how people would be like, oh, the maximalist thing that's hypocritical of other ideas, other thoughts, other means of,
yes.
you know, but you're like, that's okay. You
well,
do that over there.
And I... Freedom maximalist. Experiment to your heart's
yeah.
content. If you're into Ethereum, go for it.
Right.
Enjoy yourself. I think all of these things get resolved in the marketplace. And when you look at the history of 30,000 shitcoins, they've all collapsed in Bitcoin price terms. So Bitcoin has outcompeted all of these 30,000
mm-hmm.
shitcoins that have come and gone over the years. So for me, that's the settlement mechanism. It's like, there's an old saying, don't tell me what you think, show me what's in your portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
So I position myself according to how I see the world. I expect other people to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you own something you don't understand, you've got a real big problem on your hands. So, by all means, freedom first. Experiment
mm-hmm.
away. But in my strong view, it's Bitcoin only and no other crypto asset matters.
Okay, the other elephant in the room, which you kind of touched on, is the idea of scams and all of this, right? And because, again, my understanding, of course, like anything, there's bad actors, you know, things going awry, it is new. But for someone, say, in my audience who, again, is like dabbling in this, may not hold Bitcoin yet, et cetera, they're like, I don't know, bro, it's like really unstable. It's here, it's there, it's up, it's down. How would you, again, kind of simplify to address that?
I always hesitate to be prescriptive about anything. I'm not going to tell someone how they should
Right,
live their life or what they
sure.
should do or what they
Yeah.
should own. My recommendation is to study Bitcoin, actually. And the first question you get into when you study Bitcoin is like, oh, Bitcoin is money. And they're like, okay, what is money? Right? Hence the name of my show. And that's a really big question. Like we're over 300 episodes now. Over 50 answers I've received to this question. There's no definitive consensus on money. There's so many different answers. It almost like highlights this language is very useful, but it's not perfect. It can't map all the complexities of reality, and asking that question somehow highlights the limitations of language itself. So it's a very interesting philosophical thing. But in that pursuit, in that intellectual pursuit of like trying to figure it out, what is money? How has it changed over time? How has it influenced the shape of society, human civilization, psychology, etc.? You learn so much. And so that's my prescription for people. It's like just study Bitcoin or ask yourself what is money and see where it leads you. I don't have the answer for you. I'm not here to tell you to buy Bitcoin. I've gone on my own journey, and these are the conclusions I've come to. But I'm also changing all the time, right? Like
True.
this journey, when you're finished changing, you're finished, right? As soon as you get into a fixed mindset about something, and you should know this about yourself, and it applies to everything, you now think you have it figured out. Which means you think you have totalizing knowledge about a subject, whatever it may be. Maybe you're a Democrat and you're like, Democrat Party, like that's the final answer. They've got all the
Right.
answers. It's like, look at yourself and look at how you're thinking. You have totalizing knowledge about a specific topic that by definition makes you a totalitarian. That's what a totalitarian is, someone that has the final answer. There are no final answers. What is it? There's a great quote. So something like, I'd rather have questions without answers, rather than answers that cannot be questioned. Never stop questioning. Never stop asking. Like, there's always more to uncover, and there are no final answers. So,
That's so true of
it's
anything.
everything.
Okay, with that being said, and kind of wrapping up here, one of the reasons I'm so passionate about free thought, all this, I mean, as a journalist, even in Hollywood, I was always pushing up because we are always evolving. Thought is always changing. And I was
Course.
always pushing up against, you know, status quo and narratives that we were being fed. And even we look around and I try to address the naysayers who will say, this is why I say the First Amendment's been weaponized, right? Because when we talk about censorship, look at what Matt Taibbi uncovered with the Twitter files, all of the shadow banning and flow of information. They will often write it off as like, oh, it's no one's really being censored, just crazy. Like, I love how everybody's QAnon now. I talked about like even Oliver Anthony, he's gone viral, like this guy in Virginia singing with his guitar, and the mainstream's like, he is conspiring with QAnon. I'm like, bro, we are all not a QAnon people. I don't know what to tell you. I know even it, like it comes down to things as dumb as like satire. Like you were shadow banned and you showed me the process on your Instagram when I tried to search for you. It was hard to find your profile because you posted a joke meme about Greta Thunberg, right? Again, my thing with Robert Malone, misinformation. Do you want to speak to that experience of getting
Well,
shadow
okay,
banned?
so it was fact checked.
Yeah, fact check,
Literally, it
right?
was a meme. I posted three laughing emojis,
Right.
and it was Greta Thunberg holding a sign and
Right.
said, climate change, where the weather is always your fault and the only answer is more communism. And so that was fact checked as not true. So I'm like, how do you fact check a
No,
satirical,
really.
like what is the fact behind the satire? I don't think there's a fact behind it.
Like, how
You're
does this
literally just
work?
making fun of someone.
Right.
Like you tell a joke, it's not a fact, it's a joke. Yet I was fact checked and shadow banned for that. Shadow ban eventually got lifted. Actually, your suggestion, I think maybe
What
it's
was
someone
it?
else, someone suggested a
Yeah.
little hack and my
Okay.
team did it and fixed.
Okay.
That's gone, but now if you try to follow me,
Yeah.
it'll give you the warning. Are you
Oh,
sure that you want to
yeah, that's
follow this
right. That's
guy?
right.
Because he's repeatedly
That's right.
posted false information. So people are always sending me snapshots of this, like, you've made it, bro. Like you're like a real truth teller. So I think it's
That is
I don't
funny.
know, I don't I mean, the people in the circles that I run in, people see that and they're like, oh, that's like a badge of honor. But I wonder if, like, the larger world, they see that and they actually think,
But I
oh,
think
should I be, should I follow this guy? Should I be scared? Like, if I follow him, am I going to get
really.
censored?
And
It's a weird.
that's why I try to get through to people. And you're right, it's like people have such tunnel vision that they can only see what they can see. Robert and I talked about this. But that's why what I really try to get through to people, because if they write it off as like Trump crazy, right wing supremacist, KKK, da 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 da, like even as it pertains what we talked about today with money, it's like I want you guys to realize like this is so much far beyond any of that. And
That's right.
tomorrow it could get you.
That's right.
Like
100%.
it could literally get anyone. I love the story, and even in the world of money, you know, I mentioned like advertisers being cut off of shows because you don't align or you said something politically incorrect. I love the example Matt Taibbi brought up on your show of the porn star who talked about being on Pornhub and the finance, like MasterCard and Visa,
Whatever else.
basically dictating what position she could be in porn to get money, right?
Talk about
Like,
control.
it's crazy and it's everywhere. So, last kind of thought on this, where do you see it all going? You know, because it is, I mean, we're talking about it hopping on here. It's a really crazy time.
It is a crazy time, and you know, we've had these crazy times before where the collective starts to oppress the ultimate minority, which is the individual, right? We start to take away individual rights, life, liberty, and property in the interest of the greater good or society. You know, there's always this ephemeral notion of the utopia that we're serving. I need to sacrifice my property or my life or my liberty to the utopia. And we've run through this maze time and time again. And fortunately, the long arc of history has bent towards greater individual liberty. Right? We're living in the greatest social experiment of that to that end in history, the United States of America, right? Where we've had more economic freedom and individual liberty than any country before us. So I see it coming to a head. I think there's a push for one world government. You know, things like the WEF, we'll see a push that direction. And I think there's also a counterforce emerging. You know, like Jordan Peterson started his Alliance for Responsible Citizenship. It's an anti-World Economic Forum consortium, effectively, pushing people towards traditional values. So I think, you know, the pendulum is swinging one direction towards kind of centralization and top-down control, but there's this also a counter movement building. And so that gives me a lot of optimism. And then technology, you know, the technologies like Bitcoin, like the internet, digital communication. This gives us new avenues of liberating ourselves that have never existed before. So my hope is that the more oppressive the state becomes, the more rapidly these technologies will advance and people will start to liberate themselves. And I just wanted to echo something you said earlier where it's like people, again, there are no final answers. And just question. Like, I'm not, again, I don't have the answer.
Totally.
But just if you could take anything away from it, like question everything and understand that you're never going to find the final answer. But in the pursuit of more knowledge or the pursuit of better understanding, you will become better in the process. The philosopher Schopenhauer said, every man takes the limits of his own field of vision for the limits of reality. You can constantly expand your horizons and you can constantly learn more. There's always more to learn. And hopefully it humbles you in the process. It makes you a better person, makes you more of a critical thinker, enables you to communicate more clearly with other people. Like, these are the things that help us cooperate and get along. Demonizing people and calling them a fucking QAnon or a leftist or a whatever, like that, the name, you're reducing someone to a label. People are very complex, right? I cannot reduce humans to a label. You're now discounting their sovereignty and you are inhibiting your ability to engage with them in an authentic way. So if anything, like, let's just take a step back from that and let's be humble and let's just try to get along and stop stealing each other's shit and the world will be a much better place.
You know, you touch on something which is let's hear each other out. And sometimes, even like some things today, I'm like, okay, it might be a little far out, but you know, people I've had on my show in the past, like I might think, or my audience members might think, like, okay, a little far out there, but you know, and as I've told these guys listening, I have recently been on a whole very deep, intense, hard that none of that was meant to be innuendo or phallic. I realize those those adjectives. Michael Singer's spiritual journey, and
okay,
he talks
yeah.
a lot about my man, and he talks a lot about why we hold on so tight to
Seated
things that
soul. What's his book?
Untethered Soul.
Untethered
yes.
Soul. Yes, I've
and the
that.
Surrender Experiment.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
good. Highly
yeah.
recommend. Has like changed everything for me. And part
yeah.
of it is this: how we hold on to things that scare us.
Yes.
And if someone protrudes that, it's like,
yes.
don't do that.
Yes.
Like, you're in a fight,
yes.
right? Don't say that again.
It's your identity.
And it's
yes.
like, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are you, why are you holding on to that thing?
Right.
So it's getting spiritual, but as it pertains to all of this, it's like seeing someone's thought you don't like,
yes.
seeing, it's like, just hear it. Like, why does that scare you?
That's
why
right.
does that threaten
That's
you?
Right.
Like, just hear it. It doesn't
That's
have
right.
to be your life mantra.
Yes.
But if you let it go, as you said, it's like ring around the rosy, but like, we will all just be happier,
yes,
basically.
100%. And I think
so,
most fundamentally, our decisions come from either fear or love. And so just look at
so
yourself,
true.
How you act in the world, how you're responding, and just with a critical eye, right? That neutral third person observer on yourself all the time. Am I coming from a place of fear, or am I coming from a place of love? And I would almost guarantee
true.
Every time you're demonizing someone or calling them a label or trying to chop them down,
mm-hmm.
it's because you're scared, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're scared about whatever they represent or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get to a good place making decisions out of fear, ever. It's like a law
of
the universe.
Oh, no.
So let's just come from a place of love. And it may sound cheesy and
so
woo-woo,
Michael Singer of you. I love
it. It is the truth, right?
No, it's so true.
Right.
And it is interesting, just kind of a last button on all of this, like just to tie it all back to the beginning, is like the first thing when we sat down, he's like, I love it. You're rolling old school. Like, you got the notes, the pad, the, like, I may as well be Bill Nye, decided to go over here, like my pen, the whole thing. And I just love that. Like, I'm such a purist in this way. So it's, you know, I feel like technology, even with thought, like how it's been weaponized, like we're scared to say our thoughts out
mm-hmm.
there. It's just such an odd oxymoron, because technology can advance and help us in so many ways,
yes.
and especially with what you're talking about with Bitcoin, but it's also like,
it's a double-edged sword.
Exactly. Like, sometimes I'm like, let's just get back to the basics, you know?
Yeah. Well, I do admire that.
So, but again, like anything, both things can be true.
Yes.
So as one last thing, I mean, I think we should just show everybody, like, even though your bicep is almost as big as mine, we'll just do a little like for the road comparison for these guys.
Flex
off. Yeah, exactly. Robert, thank you so
much.
Thank you
for having me.
Oh my God, this was a blast. I appreciate it. And I got the newspaper skirt, so no fake news today. Thank you so much. Let me, get us wrapped here, and I think we basically hit everything. See, you asked about my notes.
That was great.
Yeah, you, perfect timing too.
Conduct that well.
Oh, thank you so much.